Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it is that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, brought to you by Freedom Tire Guys. TD, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
We appreciate you joining us this morning, TD. Did a great job on the show yesterday. Listened to you guys kind of break down the draft. Now less than a week away from the draft coming up for the Titans. How likely do you think it is, TD, that the Titans could trade down in this draft? Obviously, that depends on the teams behind them and needs that other teams may have. But how likely do you think it is that John Robinson and the Titans entertain that scenario of trading down?
I think there's a good possibility. You look at some of the guys that might be available. You know, say Green Bay, say they want to jump up above some teams and get Tevin Jenkins, who seems to fit them really well. They need a right tackle. Or say Green Bay, like they want to skip up to get Greg Newsome at 22. Those are options that I could see happening, and that would really fall right into the Titans' lap because Elijah Moore will probably be there a bit later in the first, you know, and now they could acquire other draft picks and still get the guy who I think is going to be the one ultimately anyway.
Yeah, and of course, we talked last week, TD, about Elijah Moore and your talks with people and sort of the feeling that he's a strong possibility for the Titans. That's an interesting scenario you bring up, though. You know, Newsome being the guy someone else would come up to grab. What if Newsome were an option for the Titans, wherever it is? I mean, what do you think about him specifically as a fit in this defense?
Yeah, I think Newsome is a fit. He is an excellent man corner. I definitely feel like watching him, he mirrors routes very well. He has that aggressiveness, that quotation mark, love ball mindset and approach. So it definitely fits. I just wonder if there's that much separation between him and a guy like Asante Samuel Jr. or a guy like Tyson Campbell. You know, Tyson Campbell's a very good man corner. He's just as long, and he actually has that speed to turn and run with those fast receivers. You know, so that's something to look at. And it's funny because I was watching De'Ami Brown last night, and I watched Florida State, you know, them against Florida State, and it just – Asante Samuel Jr. is so good, man. Like, the way he closes on the ball and everything. And my thing with Greg Newsome, and I say it over and over again, I really like him. Like, his hips are very fluid. He has fast feet. You know, he's aggressive. But I just want to see him going against some top talent. And that was my issue. You know, like, I love the Nebraska game, but let's face it, you know, I may end up buying insurance from one of those receivers next year. You know what I mean? So it's a little tough to really get that full gauge on him, but I definitely think he's going to be a good player.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Tyson Campbell. So I actually had him in a recent mock, and the mocks are just flying fast and furious right now.
TD, I think he's doing a mock draft every day.
There's a lot of mock drafting, but I had them taking him in the second, and he's really interesting. I mean, like you said, I mean, I think he ran like a 4.34 or 4.36, something like that. Great size, has all the tools, wasn't always good. I mean, he got beat a fair amount this past season. Like, the numbers against him, teams targeted him a lot. He gave up completely. So is that the example of a guy who maybe he's got the tools, good coaching, and you could have a really good player? Or is there something else missing with him, you think?
Yeah, I think that's the case. And he did get targeted a lot, but you look at that secondary, you had DJ Daniels and Eric Stokes on that team too.
That's a good point.
So, and DJ Daniels is another guy no one's talking about, but he only got beat once, and that was Josh Palmer got him. So I see what you're saying. You know, it definitely makes sense. He is someone that you hope with NFL coaching he will be better, and a lot of it is just slight technique things that could be cleaned up.
TD, you brought up Josh Palmer there. I mean, obviously, if you're a Tennessee Vols fan, you watch him play in that offense last year. was so rough to watch, but you also didn't have a quarterback that could get the ball down the field. What sort of an NFL player do you think Josh Palmer can be?
I think he's going to be a very good one. And I told him when I had him on talking with TD, I told him he reminded me of Marvin Jones. And the reason why is he's one of those receivers that you line him up, and as a corner, you're not going to think that he's going to beat you deep because he doesn't have that true juice, you know what I mean? But then he wins at the line, and he gets behind you, I mean in front of you, and he stacks you perfectly, and he has that very sound technique as far as leaving that cushion for the quarterback to drop the ball, you know, along the sideline and fade to it and go up and attack it. He does that really well, and I think that's something to note with him. It was interesting talking to him because he said that he's watched a lot of Davante Adams, and it's funny because Nico Collins told me the same thing. These guys were like, yo, I watched a lot of him and studied him really aggressively. When I got to the Senior Bowl, I was using the releases, and it was working. So I like the fact that he took note of that and he used it and was making that happen. And he was very impressive down there in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. So you also could look at the Alabama game. You know, everybody's talking about Patrick Surtain, the second, who's a really good corner. But, you know, a guy who ate him up is Josh Palmer.
Yep. TD, we were talking earlier about the tight end position. It's obviously interesting this draft because it's like you got a one-man top tier, you know, and then – maybe a lot of guys who aren't too different from each other. But when you look at the Titans right now, one thing I'm wondering about is Mykole Pruitt, because I believe he's still out there, and I feel like he's a solid guy who the Titans could still, you know, sign to a low-cost deal. But do you think Firkser is up to being a more high-volume tight end who is an asset in the Titans' run game? Obviously, everybody blocks in this offense, but like, do you think he could be a well-rounded tight end one? And how much of a how much of a priority is that position in this draft for the Titans?
Yeah, I think the problem there is you're getting into becoming too predictable. I think that's really where the issue is. If Firkser is in the game, okay, yeah, it's probably going to pass. If Swaim is in the game, okay, you know what, they're probably going to run. And that's the problem. So if they could find a guy like Brevin Jordan, Tommy Tremble, those types, Hunter Long, you know, these are all guys that can do both, right? They could block pretty well, but they're also solid pass catchers. They may not be as swift as far as the route running is concerned as Firkser, but they could still get the job done. And I think that's something that has to be considered. Now, I know Firkser is working to become a better blocker and all of those things, but it's just not really there yet, and that's really the issue with their tight end group. They don't really have somebody that you could just say whenever he's on the field, they could either run or pass. It's too predictable right now.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport, also host of Talking with TD, on the line with us, presented by Freedom Tire Guys. TD, we've seen in the past, later in the draft, John Robinson and the Titans take a flyer on a quarterback. You had Cole McDonald last year. That lasted for about 35 seconds on the practice field. You had Luke Falk as well. Obviously, they've got a ton of needs that they're going to need to address in this draft. How likely do you think it is that maybe later they take a flyer on another quarterback in this draft and maybe try to get some competition in there with Logan Woodside?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I've heard from Brady Davis, you know, the quarterback out of Illinois State. He's a guy that they've shown interest in. I know a few other teams have shown interest in him also, so that's somebody. I could see them taking a late flyer. You know, Jamie Newman out of Wake Forest, who transferred to Georgia, is another pretty solid option where I could see them going. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do it. I mean, you mentioned Logan Woodside, but you also got Deshaun Kizer is in the building also.
Yep.
And I still think that kid could play. They really do. And I just remember, you know, talking to people in Cleveland, one of their former receivers, and he told me that the structure just wasn't there. There were times, multiple times, where Kizer would come off the field and no one is even going over anything with him. So, you know, how can you develop as a quarterback if you don't even have somebody you know, going over the play or what you saw and what could be different. I think he just was dealt a really bad hand, and you're kind of seeing the byproduct of that. And I still think Kaiser could play.
TD, who the heck is kicking for this team in 2021?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Really good one. Memphis has a kicker. I like the Miami kicker as well. So if they end up, you know, drafting somebody, that's definitely an option. You know what I mean? But I don't know at this point who is kicking. But if it were up to me, they would use a late pick or go undrafted free agent on Borgalis out of Miami.
Do you get the sense that the delay on Gostkowski is more him not being sure or them not being sure on him?
I think it's them not being sure on him.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think so, too. I mean, we kind of read some comments from Mike Vrabel the other day at this season ticket thing he did a couple of months ago on Zoom. He said, got to make more kicks. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do at that position as they move forward here. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by Freedom Tire Guys. TD, great stuff as always, my friend. And this time next week, we'll have some draft picks to talk about as well. So thanks for joining us this morning, and looking forward to the draft coming up next week.
Yes, sir. Christmas is coming,
That's
man.
That's right.
Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. TD, one of the best in the business, joins us every week on Fridays here at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rexford. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what TD had to say there and take your thoughts as well on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexford here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Be sure to tune in every weekday for your chance to win $1,000. It's the game's 1K payday. Listen for keywords at 9, noon, and 3. And when you hear it, go to thegamenashville.com and enter the keyword for a shot at $1,000. We'll have that keyword today here on our show coming up at 9 o'clock. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe Rex Road, Teron Davenport on with us in the last segment. And brought up a few different things there, including, I mean, he sounds pretty confident that Elijah Moore is going to be the guy for the Titans in the first round. Now, obviously, we've got to see how things shake out and the draft board. There's always one or two surprises that take place, but TD is he's very excited about Elijah Moore. And I think the more you listen to TD, the more you kind of read the room and of who could be available. I mean, Elijah Moore is going to be available, you would think.
TD has talked me into that as a trade-down option.
Yeah.
I don't think if they stick at 22, they're going to take Elijah Moore.
If they stick at 22, yeah. That's two mutes.
There's two.
God. Two mutes.
Two utes. Two
yes,
mutes.
Yes.
The utes. Yeah, I think if you're at 22, I just think someone's going to be ahead of him on the big board, which you got to stay faithful to. That's why I'm an either or, even though they have all these other, you know, needs and everything like that. And you could certainly say, man, get a corner, or yes, get an edge. I'm Barmore or Moore. Barmore or Moore. And not the other Moore, sadly.
Yeah.
Sad. Now, if they go Barmore, they could do the other Moore, the Moore that I've been more into.
That's a lot of Moores that you just brought up there. Rondale Moore. If they draft Rondale Moore, like, we've got to do something. There's got to be like an hour's worth of just a special celebration if this happens. If Rondale Moore ends up on the Titans.
Rex Rondale?
Yes, Rex Rondale. Hey, I mean, it's going to be an option. You have been diligently working on a mock draft at theathletic.com. How many mock drafts have you done, by the way, at this point?
I don't know. I've got one more. I know that's coming out Monday. That's my seven rounder, my last seven rounder.
Seven rounds.
But this one is was all the writers.
It's collaborative.
Yeah. So, and we did trades.
Yeah.
So it's a two rounder. This is a two rounder with everybody and trades allowed. And there were a lot of trades. And I made a trade.
You did.
So, maybe this will work out. You know, it's about the trade partner. You got to have somebody who is willing to come up to 22, who really wants someone. In this instance, This is where I'm always hesitant. Like, do I just read the whole story that's behind a subscription paywall?
I wasn't going to.
I'll tell you that the Packers, your beloved Packers, well, yes. You know, because you just read the story.
I did.
But Matt Schneidman said, "Hey, Packers are moving up.
The well dressed
take 22. Yeah, yeah, he's very dapper. So they moved up and got their guy, and so I was able to bounce back on that. And that's what it's going to take. I think if there's an opportunity for that. I think the Preds should jump all over it.
I think the Preds should too.
I've done this a lot with the Preds and Titans.
Same town.
Should I call the Titans the Tights?
I don't know.
Just
don't
better than one of the other options.
You got to be real careful there. Please don't
spell it out.
Yeah.
That reminds me real quick of a story I told you. I'll tell you. Tell the listeners real quick on the air. So at the Lansing State Journal, remember this story?
Yeah.
The Lansing State Journal. We used to have previews for all the high school sports. And so our girls' basketball preview, it was like the school was like, I think it was Hazlitt, and it was Hazlitt needs to rely on its defense.
Yeah.
And
there's a typo.
There was a T that was
it was a typo.
And it got through. So, and you know, we can start talking Bartolo Colon headlines too if you
want. That's pre-internet too. I mean,
well, no, the internet existed,
right? But it's like you're still a large part of your newspapers are getting set out and
yes.
in print.
Oh yeah, the special sections,
yeah.
like these, like, exactly. You flip through them. I mean, I miss it, but
it's a lot easier to correct mistakes today. Now you also have screenshots to deal with today, so it's different. But
yeah, but you can just quickly
go back on there.
Yeah, you just quickly fix something that's already. And back then, yes,
there's no fixing
your mistakes. They live forever.
Yeah. That is true.
Bartolo Colon. Colon contains tigers. Didn't you find like an entire headline website?
Yeah. Headline website for Bartolo Colon.
Colon has solid outing.
Yes. There's a lot that have happened. And every one of these are going to send Ryan Porth over the edge.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the draft. I don't want to read off this entire piece from The Athletic that you guys have just come out with. But I will say, one of the interesting things on this mock draft that has happened here is we've talked about one of the big three wide receivers, whether that's Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Ja'Marr Chase. What happens if one of them slides? Well, one of them did slide here in this draft. Jalen Waddle got down to 16 with the Arizona Cardinals. What do you think of that? And if it plays out similarly in real life, if he gets down to 16, 17, somewhere in that area. Do you consider that if you're the Titans going up to get Jalen Waddle, who, by the way, I think is an absolute stud? I think he's going to be great in the NFL.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I think you consider it. If I were making the decision, I wouldn't do it. But you got to think about it if it starts getting there, right?
I'm surprised to see him slide. Look, I mean, he was injured. But by all indications, he's going to be completely healthy. So I don't know how worried I am about his injury at that point. He's got speed. I think he's a really, really good player. Like, we talk about Devontae Smith. Like, I think Jalen Waddle could have won the Heisman if he stayed healthy. I mean, they had – everybody on that offense apparently was a Heisman candidate, which is amazing when you go back and think about it.
You really did have four.
Yeah, and I think he was on track before he got hurt to maybe be the guy that ended up winning it.
Yeah, he was the guy. He was the headliner before he got hurt, and then Devontae Smith – took over. So, but again, there's plenty of Heisman winners also who have done nothing in the NFL. So let's remember that. But still, I have a hard time believing Jalen Waddle's not going to be a dynamic receiver in the NFL. So I would think about it if it got into the mid-ish teens and you're sitting there and he's still there. I just – the needs are so many. I mean, look, what's the evaluation – what's the Titans' difference in evaluation between an Elijah Moore and a Jalen Waddle? Maybe it's not that much.
May not be.
I mean, it's kind of been projected here and analyzed, and I think accurately as a top tier of three guys, and then you get to the next wave. But what's the gap between the bottom of the top tier and the top of the second tier? I don't know. You know, so if you could move back, add to your picks because you've got to have a lot of guys in this draft who contribute to your team in 2021 and still get a guy you think is not that much. I mean, I would prefer that. But if you think he's transformational talent. All of a sudden, you got Brown and Waddle for a few years. That sounds okay.
Now, I know immediately what would happen. Like, everybody would be tempted to, all right, you've got Waddle, make him the punt returner or the kick returner. I'd be like, that would scare me.
Yeah, but gosh.
Pretty good.
That's the thing. That used to be also a lot more prevalent in the NFL. Just great receivers who also return. And now it's very much it's a specialization, even with the roster limitations and stuff. But that's a guy I would look at.
Christian Barmore slides to 25 in this mock draft on The Athletic. What do you think of that? Jacksonville at 25 selecting Christian Barmore.
Well, and so for me, that's where – and honestly, I called the shot that they'll do the other thing. But that's what it was. It was like, okay, if this guy is right there for you, but you're going to move out of there. And I did, but that would be a really interesting scenario. I mean, again, the funny thing about all this is we think we know what the Titans would think of him, but we don't. I just think that screams best available pick, and I would like it if they did it. I would like Barmore if they've evaluated him as a guy who's going to come in here and kind of be what Jeffrey Simmons was for half of his rookie year, those two together, and then you have a long term. Again, I think if you can win up front to that extent, everything else gets better. But I bailed out of there, even with him on the board. So I don't know. Barmore, I've heard different things on him too.
Yeah.
It's not a total – I mean, obviously, if he was a total slam dunk, he'd be going earlier than this. I mean, there are questions about him.
I think the one thing that's clear on this, and we've talked about this a lot recently, I mean, there are a lot – like, if you're the Titans and you do end up trading out of your first-round pick and moving down either later in the first round or really early in the second round, you've got a ton of options that you can still go with that I think you feel really good about. Like, in this draft, you got Caleb Farley going 31 to the Browns. I mean, Asante Samuel Jr., who we just heard TD talk about, is at 34. Gregory Rousseau is at 36 in this mock draft. Like, you're going to have a lot of options on the Titans if you end up trading down.
Oh, there's a lot of good players in the second. A lot of good players in the third, too. And, we had Jim Nagy on, and, he made the point. I mean, you make a lot of hay in this draft in those two rounds.
Yeah.
And those two rounds have been better to John Robinson than the first round have been. So there's GMs out there who are like, get me out of the first. Every chance I get, I'm getting out of the first. And I'm gonna have more quantity, and ultimately that will be more quality for my football team.
When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. Terry Crisp, Predators TV analyst, will join us. We'll look ahead at a massive game tonight coming up for the Predators against the Chicago Blackhawks. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A massive, massive game for the Nashville Predators tonight. They're taking on the Chicago Blackhawks at United Center. To help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, Predators TV analyst, Terry Crisp. Crispy, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing great. Up about. Got my coffee going. Just waiting to chat with my major domos down on the radio station, so I guess they didn't show up, so you guys will do.
Yeah, well, you're stuck with us, I guess, for the foreseeable future here, Crispy. That's a very scary proposition on your part. Crispy, as you watch what happened in the third period of the game the other night, you've got a 4-1 lead if you're the Predators, and things start to unravel on you, and you end up losing the game in the fashion that you did. What's your message as the coach to the team after that? To try and, number one, make sure it doesn't happen again, but also make sure they're in the right headspace heading into another big game tonight.
You know, as a coach, you really don't you're upset. You're aggravated. You give away a point or whatever. But you know, going back into that dressing room, you got another game to play. It's another big tilt coming up, which they all are for us coming down the line. And the first thing I'd say to my team as a whole is, guys, we played a solid hockey game. Now, I know you think I'm a doughhead coming in here saying we played a solid and we lost, but we did. We only made four dumb mistakes with the puck and shot ourselves in the foot. We didn't have a total collapse. We didn't have them hammering away at us and just burying us in there. They got their three goals and what was by our mistakes, by our guys just falling asleep, single individuals out there, not the team, individuals. And you've heard Coach Hines say this numerous times. He says, our system is in place. The guys are now all bought in and they're all playing our system. Our only thing is now individual. We have to win the individual battles, and the individuals have to be responsible when they have the puck or when they're back-checking. And those three goals that Chicago scored, bing, 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 and the first one, in fact, too, all four goals against us were individual breakdowns, not system, not the team. So you may make sure you tell your team that, hey, we played a good, solid team against a team that's also desperate for us. So let's just get back to our game and get ready for the next one.
A what head? What
dough
was
head.
That?
Dough head. I like it.
A dough head.
Dough
I don't
head.
Know. My mom always said it.
I love it.
But not to you. To not mom. Toward you, right?
You know what? That's the bad part when you get older. All these sayings that your parents and grandparents, you just blurt out there, and you got to be a little careful. So with you guys, I'll apologize and say I should have said all of you dough heads.
Yes, you're right. Thank you.
See, then you get to the point where, like, I've got teenagers who call everything trash and toxic. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. I don't even know where to go from there. But so, Terry, if you're John Hines, like you said, you got some breakdowns. I mean, you've handled this team well all year. You got some breakdowns. You have kind of this stunning result. How important to you is this first period tonight, you know, to sort of see if the guys have responded the way you want them to respond?
You know what? For our hockey club, we've dwelled on this for quite a while, and the coaches have too, that if we recall that we always said we have to have better starts. And then we got them. Then we got better starts. That's when we started to win and went on the roll, and all the guys bought in. Mind you, every time we got some key saves from Saros and Rene at that given time, then we'd have a bad second and poured on in the third. So the guys know what they have to do. They know where their strengths are. They know where they have to get better at it. And against Chicago, I mean, they're a dangerous team. I mean, over the years, Pete Weber and I are just saying after that game, we don't know how many times we've seen Chicago come back and beat us in the last few minutes of a game. Or I remember one year in the playoffs when they beat us with 13 seconds to go when we had a power play and they scored shorthanded to do the damage to us. Chicago's always had a reputation against us, as far as I'm concerned, that they're never dead. They're never out of it. And I said to my wife, sitting and watching my notes here in the living room here tonight, she said, well, I said, I tell you right now, Chicago's going to come at us hard. Because in my memory, in my mind, they're going to come at us strong. So we better be ready for them. And they did. So we know that. And let's get prepared for it again this game. Let's don't let them do it.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Crispy, it's interesting. You had Rocco Grimaldi coming out of the lineup the other night. Tolvanen comes back in. You would think here shortly Forsberg may be close. Maybe he's back in there sometime next week. When you're a coach and you've got a team that's been playing really well, as the Predators have, and younger guys that have come in and contributed the way that they have, obviously, we know that Duchesne is going to get back in there. Forsberg is going to get back in there. Tolvanen is going to get back in there. Like, how do you handle that as a coach in terms of taking guys out of the lineup who have been playing very well and who have been productive as well? What's that balance like? What's that process like in having those conversations?
That's tough. As a coach, I know I've had to do it before. And like we've all said, that you don't lose your job when you get an injury, but when your team is just rolling along, clicking along and doing it, it's a double-edged sword is what it is. And you're just hoping that the guys that come back in are ready, are keen to go, and ready to contribute to it. And that Coach Hines has said, and he's told us, he said, they have a talk with all these guys individually. He said, we had a talk with Arvey when he came back in, whoever comes back in, Duchesne, et cetera, Johansson. He said, we talked to them. We told them that, hey, they're coming back into a team that's moving right along. This team is sailing, and we're taking a guy out. You better fill that space and more. That's your job now. The pressure's on you, and they're going to say, well, I was in. No, you're healthy. You're back in the lineup. We don't need excuse. We just want everybody clicking and going, so contribute. That's the only weapon a coach has in that situation. Because if you don't put them back in, and let's be honest, especially if you got your hierarchy on your team, you stand a chance of losing them. And by that, I mean, you know, they want to be back. They've worked hard to get back. They've rehabbed. They've done all the skating drills, et cetera. They want back in there. So you want to get them back in there. And yet you're looking at the kid and you said, gee, this kid just worked his heart out for us, and we're pulling him out. That's the part of sports that's not easy, but it's a part of sports.
Crispy, as you mentioned earlier, you got individual breakdowns. You got some absolute almost gimmies there for the Blackhawks in that stretch of 2:51 to tie the game. But is there any concern as a coach for Saros, just in terms of having the puck go in the net that many times in a row, fatigue, confidence, anything like that? You know, how are you viewing Saros right now?
No, he's a goalie. He's there. He's rode us, just like we've rode Pecorino for so many years, so many stretches, and we've seen him do it time after time. Saros has earned that right now, and he's doing it for us right now. And let's be honest, the goals, if you go over the goals that were scored, the two-on-ones, the back doors, the breakaways, he had no chance. I mean, unless he's going to really, be a magician on those ones. So I don't worry about Saros whatsoever. And whichever goaltender Coach Hines goes, whether it's Rene or Saros, I have confidence in them from my wealth of whatever in hockey. And I know the team does too. So if Saros or Rene, this team knows how they have to play.
Predators TV analyst Terry Crisp has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. The Predators, a gigantic game tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. Crispy, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, guys, doesn't get any better than this. We're in our playoffs. We're going to make the playoffs. So, like you said, they've earned the right to be in the fight. So let's stay with them. Thanks, guys.
Very nicely done.
Stay safe.
Absolutely. You as well, Crispy. Terry Chris joins us every Friday at 8:30 here on the program. One of the legends in the game. It's always interesting
all-timer.
To get his all-timer perspective. I mean, you're talking about a Stanley Cup winning player, Stanley Cup winning coach as well. His perspective on when things happen, like what happened on Wednesday and just a total breakdown in the last part of that game. You know, we heard John Hines come in, and you talked about it. He's about as even keel as it gets. I mean, he's a guy that I think has got really good perspective. I think that works sometimes. I think also sometimes coming in and being a little bit more fiery works as well. Crispy, I certainly would describe as fiery. Peter Laviolette, a little fiery as well. I'm always fascinated to get Crispy's vantage point on that.
Crispy is a jovial, hilarious guy. I bet he got after a few people back in the day. Huh?
I know he got after a few people back in the day. That's for
sure.
Peel
the paint off the walls, Crispy.
That's right. When we come back, it is time for Predators Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, to guess a goal scorer for the Predators in tonight's game against the Blackhawks. If you get it right, you'll win a prize pack, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We also got some Nashville SC tickets to give away coming up next as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Turnaround shot and the score!
Going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game. Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it is time for Predators Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators taking on the Chicago Blackhawks tonight at United Center. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And now we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Mike from Gallatin. Mike, what's going on? Thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Man, not too much, guys. Hey, last time I about to play this game, I don't know if you guys remember, I flipped a coin, and it was heads or tails, and I actually picked the wrong side of the coin.
You did.
So I'm not ever doing that ever again.
So a new strategy on the board today for Mike from Gallatin. Mike, the Predators taking on Chicago tonight in this competition. Who is your pick to click in the game?
Okay, so the new strategy is go with your gut. and that originally last time was Granlin, so I'm going to take Granny again.
Very nicely done. Mike selecting Mikhail Granlin in the game tonight. Mike, good luck to you. We appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. So Granlin off the board. Granlin, a great game. Last two games against Chicago. Two assists on Monday. Gets the goal, the buzzer beater, the other night on Wednesday. Mike going with Granlin in the competition.
Well, if Mike was a real competitor, he would have figured this out with paper, rock, scissors.
Yes, he would have. But could have gone with Nick Sirianni, the Eagles, and figured it out together.
Don't turn on your AC, Mike.
Stick it out.
No,
practice,
AC!
Practice your mental toughness. So Mike has made his selection going with Granlin. The competition is as such. Listeners at 7, Joe Rexroad at 7, Ryan Porth at 3, Robbie Stanley at 1. Joe Rexroad.
Coming for you, Joe.
You have the first selection today. Where are you going in Preds Pick to Click today? There's some options.
I called the shot, you know, that Ryan Ellis will have the game-winning goal.
You did.
So I could be consistent, just go with Ellis.
You could.
But, you know, I'm gonna going to stick with my guy, Kalle Yarncroke.
Your commitment to him is admirable.
He's got good numbers.
He does. He leads the team in goals.
I am so rooting for him to score a hat trick so that we can see that Rexroad jersey.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Is that what the deal is?
You said that like a month ago.
If he gets a hat trick.
Got to get one.
Any hat trick or a hat trick on a night, I pick him.
Any hat trick.
I'm getting a Rexroad jersey,
mm-hmm.
I'm rooting for it too.
Yeah.
Because that would give me an excuse to wear a jersey, and, you know, I kind of...
Kind of get your name on it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I kind of, you know, shame adults who wear jerseys of people who are much younger than them.
You do.
It is kind of laughable, right? But I would be able to break the rule.
You would.
And I wouldn't have any choice.
There you go. So Joe Rexroad staying consistent in the competition, going with Kalle Yarncroke. I am selecting Eli Tolvanen in the competition. I mean, heck, in Call Your Shot Friday, I said he's going to have a hat trick, so I've got to pick him. I probably just totally screwed Eli Tolvanen for tonight, but I'm sorry. I'm picking him.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
He is.
I feel bad for him, but it's a good pick for you.
He's the one guy this year that I've picked that I've gotten right. So there's got to be something for that, too.
That was going to be the breaking point, too.
I thought so,
remember,
too.
Because he was on a tear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he went the whole game. I don't even know if he had a shot like before that goal he scored in overtime. But I'm taking Tolvanen. So Granlin off the board. Yarncroke off the board. Tolvanen off the board. Ryan Porth. Who are you picking in today's competition?
I'm going back to the well from Wednesday night. Give me Victor Arvidsson.
Doubling down on Victor Arvidsson. A great play by Arvidsson the other night to set up the Tolvanen goal.
Yep.
You say this time he finishes it off.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Arvidsson has looked fast lately.
He's looked very good as of late. That's explosive. For sure. So that is today's edition of Predators Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Mike in Gallatin, our listener, selecting Mikhail Granlin. Joe Rexroad, Kalle Yarncroke. Robbie Stanley selecting Eli Tolvanen in today's competition. And Ryan Porth rounding things out with Victor Arvidsson. I feel like one of us is going to get on the board tonight.
Or the Preds will win 8-3 and no one will get it right. This seems to happen often. But you should feel good about Tolvanen.
I do.
You know, on the power play, I think he's in line to get one.
Sure,
here.
Fans probably don't feel good right now that I've selected him, but hey.
Well, and he shouldn't either.
I mean, he's broken this curse before. I have confidence he can do it again.
That's true.
So it'd be one thing if it was, you know, Forsberg. I picked Forsberg a few times this year, nothing. Eli Tolvanen has broken through this.
So
he's got to have confidence right now.
But that certainly wasn't the only time you picked Tolvanen.
No. No, it's not, my friend. I'm just saying his percentage is better than anybody else's.
If HockeyPuckMagic.com or whatever had odds.
Money Puck?
Yeah, whatever.
Hockey Puck Magic.
Linebacker wears number 7!
What would Porth have better odds of doing? Catching me or being caught by you?
I mean, being caught by me.
He's
not catching you. It's not going to happen. Every time he gets one right, you get one right. He's not catching you.
We've got 5 left.
5 left?
Yeah.
But plus playoffs.
Well, plus playoffs, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
we could have a lot left.
It's possible.
There could be a lot of games left.
A lot of Preds.
This was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
It still could be. It's just like that.
Yeah, it is. Hey, I'm interested to see the response on that. I think your point you bring up about the first period is a good one, where you've had your game just totally unravel on you on Wednesday night. Individual mistakes, as Terry Criss pointed out there, that leads to just a collapse in the third period. Do you let that build towards any momentum whatsoever from Chicago, or do you come out tonight and just completely shut it down and get back to dominating Chicago 5-on-5? If you do that, I think you feel pretty good about this team moving forward. With Dallas losing last night, the Predators back in control of their destiny here. Now, we all know the head-to-head against Dallas is going to be huge coming up on May 1st, and that's going to have a lot to say about what happens here. But again, I mean, I know that Chicago has moved up from a 4.9% chance to like a 6.3% chance to get in the playoffs. You can effectively bury them tonight if you win regulation.
Per hockeywizard.com.
Yeah, just throwing out different websites all over the place. Yes. So as bad as it was in the third period, I think as big of a punch of a gut as you felt like. To me, if I'm a Preds fan right now, my mindset has totally changed after Dallas loses last night to Detroit.
Well, speaking of which, I'm going to go to the text line because I can do that. You know, it wasn't all sunshine, Preds sunshine on the called shot. Matt from Camden said Preds missed the playoffs because of their epic collapse on Wednesday.
They could. That one point could be pretty big.
I mean, there were plenty of – of course, you immediately think of that when it happens. So, that could be. Is hockey puck – Nate says, is hockey puck magic a guy that loves hockey and does hockey magic tricks?
I don't know. Maybe that's you. You'd have to
I'm actually going to Google that website. Oh, maybe there's one that exists like that out there.
Christopher on Periscope says, positive vibes, Robbie. Positive vibes for the Preds pick to click tonight. Got to get back to vibing. Need to get that vibe back going in the positive direction tonight if you're the Predators. The odds right now, and I was trying to – yesterday we were talking about these odds – on moneypuck.com, like people are making a big deal about these percentages right now. I tried to kind of lay it out there. These percentages change so wildly on a nightly basis that it's tough to really figure out what they mean at this point. I mean, Dallas loses one game against the Red Wings, and they go from the favorite to land the final playoff spot with, I think they're around like 57% yesterday. They lose one game. They drop down to 43.6%. The Predators go from like 36% to 49.7% in one game. So you win this game tonight if you're the Predators. You keep trending the right way. If you lose tonight and Dallas wins against Detroit tomorrow, those percentages are just going to flip right back the other way.
Yeah. That stuff has become a real, I think, recent thing in sports, right? Yeah. Like the ESPN, it's like you know, this team had a 99-point blah, blah chance.
According to the ESPN Football Power Index, yeah.
Right, the FPI or whatever, yeah. I mean, it's kind of fun when you, like, in a particular game, like, I think that's it makes sense. It's like, okay, like, it would take an incredible circumstance for a game. But how you would come up with those percentages beyond complete randomness, I don't know. It doesn't mean there isn't math
involved.
There's
a lot of math, man.
But... yeah, I'd like to see the work.
Would you understand it?
Because no, but at least I'd feel comfortable that there was some work done on it. By the way, not just random numbers thrown around.
Did you see Ryan Hartman, former Nashville Predator, get extended yesterday by the Minnesota Wild?
They loving him up there. They're loving some Hartman, loving some Fiala,
Bonino,
loving some Bonino,
Ryan Suter. It's all kinds of former Preds on Minnesota Wild up there.
Hey. Ryan Suter, next time he comes in here with a full arena, he'll get booed out of the place.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the dedication.
I like it, too. Hartman, 18 points this year, 6 goals, 12 assists in 40 games. So, who knows? Maybe he was worth that first-round pick.
God, that guy, man.
He was amazing. I mean, it's...
like, I never saw it one time here.
He had a couple of games where he flashed some pretty good skill where I was like, what was that? Where'd that come from Ryan Hartman? But no, he's not worth first-round pick
at all. He's an agitator.
Yeah. Didn't he get suspended in the
Colorado series?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, cheap hit.
Yeah. Good for him getting a multi-year contract, though, in Minnesota. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators. A huge game tonight against the Chicago Blackhawks. What are the keys to victory? Which veteran player specifically needs to step up in a big way tonight? We'll get to all that coming up next. Speaking of the Predators, 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to give away a hockey home gating party. Text the word hockey to 615-737-1025. That's hockey to 615-737-1025. Now to enter for a chance to win a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.